Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
Our highlights of the gridiron events of May 29th include a key court ruling that keeps a fledgling NFL from floundering, and an early two-way player was built tough in a rugged era. We'll talk about these and more in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Aaron Hayes, and we're podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the dunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines and birthdays of Hall of Famers.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pig Pen. For today, we have our May 29th football history headlines and birthdays of Hall of Famers, and we have some other special selections, too, that we're going to talk about. Not a whole lot of news for this May 29th, but some important news. And let's get right to it. Our first one is probably very important. The Scranton, Pennsylvania Times-Tribune on May 30th, 1922, had a heading on their pages that said, "Organized ball, not trust," says highest court. And this is our newspapers.com football history headline of the day. And of course, it was talking about a May 29th, 1922, the U.S. Supreme Court decision that handed down that the Federalist League versus the National League case where professional baseball was not under the jurisdiction of interstate commerce laws. This made the sport exempt, even to this day, MLB is, from the Sherman Antitrust Act of 1890. While the MLB is fully exempt, other pro sports are not. The NFL has very limited freedoms concerning antitrust laws. Three Supreme Court decisions in the 1950s upheld that professional football is subject to most federal antitrust and interstate commerce laws. Is this a double standard since baseball is exempt? Well, many still to this day think so. So it's a very interesting article, very interesting piece on the antitrust as far as NFL football goes compared to baseball. Sort of a double standard, many think. But anyway, if you want to be able to read through some old articles like we did today from the Scranton Times-Tribune, you need to check out newspapers.com. At newspapers.com, you get access to over 640 million pages worth of news from the U.S., Canada, England, Scotland, Ireland, and more, dating back to 1798 all the way to yesterday. Get a free one-week subscription to newspapers.com by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers. And with a paid subscription, you'll also be helping to support the production of this and other Sports History Network shows. Let's get that pencil ready one more time. That this website is sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers for your free 1 week. Get it today. Now let's go to some our Hall of Fame birthday. We can't say that plural because there's only one Hall of Fame birthday today, and it's May 29th, 1892, Portage, Wisconsin. Colgate University's two-way tackle from 1912 through the 1915 season, Earl Abel was born. The National Football Foundation has a nice bio on Abel where they say he has a very appropriate nickname of Tuffy. He had a very good build as he was big at 5'11" tall and clocking in at 204 pounds. He was built like a brick outhouse. Tuffy's broad shoulders and thick neck made him well suited to play the hard-nosed bruising brand of football known in those pioneer years of the game. The NFF piece goes on to say that Ellery Huntington, a teammate on the 1913 Colgate team, remembered Abel as being remarkably fast, and he broke through like a streak to spill the play before it formed. Abel was fast enough to play end. Tuffy was as versatile as he was huge, often handling Colgate kicking and punting chores to boot. He once drop-kicked a field goal from the 41-yard line in a 1915 game against Yale. The 1915 team shut out five opponents and scored 107 points against RPI. I believe that's Rensselaer Polytechnical Institute. The Maroon finished with five victories in six games, and Tuffy earned All-American recognition during Earl's playing career. Colgate went 21, lost six, and tied two games. The College Football Hall of Fame proudly placed a display in the honor of Earl Tuffy Abel into their legendary museum in 1973. Man, you just look at the picture on the NFF's website. That's footballfoundation.org. And he just looks like a fire plug. You know, guy's just all neck and shoulders. And you can tell you had to be pretty tough to play in those days, even probably tougher than you do now because you have a little bit of protection and everything. But Tuffy was an appropriate name, that's for sure. Now, we also have some birthdays of some players that are not yet in either Hall of Fame, but we would definitely want to mention them because they're May 29th birthdays, and they were significant. And Sam Clancy was born in 1958 on this day, May 29th, and he was an NFL Pro Bowl defensive end for the Seahawks, Browns, and Colts. He attended the University of Pittsburgh, where he was a basketball standout and never played a down for the Panthers in football. And after college, he played pro hoops in the CBA and then switched to football in the USFL for the Pittsburgh Maulers and the Memphis Steamboats. After his playing days were over, he served as an assistant in NFL Europe and then with the Saints and Raiders in the NFL. That's an amazing story to be a basketball player at the University of Pittsburgh and then play a couple years of pro ball in the lower leagues, but then go to the USFL, become an assistant in NFL Europe, and then Saints and Raiders in the NFL, becoming a coach. Very good. 1975 on this date, May 29th, Matt Bryant, the NFL Pro Bowl kicker for the Giants, Colts, Dolphins, Buccaneers, and Falcons, he played his college ball at Baylor University. And happy birthday to Matt Bryant as well. So, we have a sort of short and sweet today, but, some good information, the antitrust laws, and still very confusing is why baseball has it and not football or basketball or hockey. I don't understand that. I guess baseball gets that extra privilege for being America's sport in the beginning, I guess. I'm not sure. But maybe something that lawmakers ought to take a good look at, and those other sports probably, everything ought to be the same. Either they're all with the antitrust or none of them are. Just to put some fairness into the land and the court system. Remember those scales of justice are supposed to balance out, not be one-sided. And I think that's probably what the NFL and some of the other major sports are complaining about, that baseball sort of getting in the way with some things with the antitrust laws and interstate commerce. So we're glad you joined us today, just like you do each and every day. We're happy to fill that football brain with knowledge one day at a time in football knowledge. And we love American football just like you do. And we hope you join us tomorrow. And we have some bonus editions, a lot of them coming up here in the next couple weeks. So make sure you join us. We have a gentleman that's going to talk about the USFL and some alternative leagues of football, so that'll be interesting. We're going to have another gentleman that's going to come on, and we're going to have our Memorial Day special, and we're looking forward to that, talking about our heroes on Memorial Day that played football. So that'll be fun to do. And our Football by Numbers is always out, and we have some great guests and with some great insight and history that we'll all get a history lesson on. So make sure you check all those out. And until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
We're taking a peek over at the chains and the down marker. It's fourth and long. We're going to have to punt the ball and get on out of here, but we'll have another series tomorrow for your football history headlines, so be sure to tune in.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. PigskinDispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.